Today's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians 10, 12, and 13. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide you a way out so that you can endure it.
Well, good morning. So good to be together. I trust you all had a Merry Christmas. We've still got our Christmas decorations up here, and the right colors, by the way, scarlet and gray, just to let everyone know that we still believe, we still support. Our hearts hurt a little bit, but we will go on. My kids taught me a new one this year, this Christmas season. We were making plans for our Christmas activities, and I mentioned December 23rd as part of our plans in the sequence of things, and they said, oh yeah, Christmas Adam. I said, what do you mean? What's Christmas Adam? They said, Christmas Eve is the 24th. Christmas Adam is the 23rd, because Adam came first and then Eve. Oh, I can't argue with that. Never heard that one before. But clearly, we find ourselves on the verge of a new year here. Just next week, we're on the verge of not only a new year, but actually a new decade. I wouldn't be surprised if many of us are setting New Year's resolutions. I want to be physically healthier. I want my marriage to improve. I want to grow in my faith. And those are all good things. I hope we do get better in the new year. I want you to be healthier. I want you to have strong marriages. I want you to grow in your faith. And there are some specific ways we can accomplish those things, right? So we want to grow in our faith. Well, are we developing prayer practices that really infuse our life in a connection with God? Are we getting into the Word of God, into the Scriptures, each and every day to really allow our hearts to align with the heart of God? Are we connecting in community? Are we submitting ourselves one to another to be known, to be accountable, and to grow and learn together for encouragement, right? So there are specific ways we can grow in our faith. There are specific ways that you can grow in your marriage. You can spend time with your spouse. You can cultivate healthy patterns of communicating with one another. Or if you have those fitness goals, right, you need to eat right. You need to exercise regularly. Well, then why don't we achieve all of our New Year's resolutions, you wonder? I read a stat somewhere there's upwards of 70%. That are not completed, that are failed resolutions. Well, then why don't we accomplish all of them? We set them each and every year. We make plans. This is going to be the year. This is going to be the decade. But most of them just go by the wayside. Why is that? Because we have good intentions, but so often we are tempted to fall back into our old habits and our old routines. Those temptations, they lead us on the path of least resistance. But I would submit to you this morning, those temptations also lead us on the path of most consequence. It might be the path of least resistance, but it's the path of most consequence. So I want to encourage us today, and this is really the theme for this morning, and as we start a new year, at the onset of a new year, that each and every time we are tempted, there is a way out. Everybody say, a way out. Praise God, there is a way out. Well, let me introduce myself. I'm John. Thrilled that you're with us this morning. And as always, I pray that through our time together, your heart grows stronger and your faith grows deeper. You know, each one of us faces temptations. It might look different for the teenagers that are with us. It might look different for the parents or those in the workforce, but each one of us faces temptations. There are temptations to use our words in ways that hurt others. Maybe you're a Michigan fan and you're tempted to use disparaging remarks today. There is a temptation to use our words in ways that are unhealthy and destructive. There are temptations to hold grudges, to become bitter. There are those temptations to take the shortcut. Remember, we said that just a moment ago, that it's often the path of least resistance. So make the shortcut. We're tempted, like maybe for you it's in the workplace. You can fudge the numbers a little. You can call the project complete, even though you really know that there are a few more finishing touches. There are a few things that you should do and can do to finish it, to refine it, to complete it, but it's just easier to say, it's done, and I'll check it off my list. Of course, for most of us, when I say temptation, we think of those fleshly, earthly temptations, the temptations to sort of gratify our senses. I think of students, high school students, college students, and the glamorization of alcohol and drug abuse. It's going to lead you in the wrong place if you haven't already figured that out. There are temptations of sexual immorality at every turn. Temptations of gluttony and materialism and pride and addictive behaviors. I think it's safe for us to say that we find ourselves in a culture where there is temptation at every turn. So instead of being defeated and deflated by that, I want us to be built up and encouraged and equipped and prepared. Every time you're tempted to do something wrong, every time you face temptation, it's going to be something that ultimately will be harmful to you, that most likely is going to be harmful to others, that most definitely will be hurtful to the heart of God. There is always a way out. There is always a path that honors God and that follows obedience to Him. We saw this, and Morgan read this passage for us. This is where we're going to be in Scripture today, primarily. These couple of verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. The end of 13. When you are tempted, Paul writes, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Let me give you a simple definition of temptation that I'm sort of working with this morning, and that is, temptation is anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. Temptation is anything promising satisfaction. Like, you're going to like this. This is going to feel good. This is going to make your life better. But it promises that satisfaction and gratification at the cost of obedience to our Heavenly Father. You know, scientists tell us that when we give in to those temptations, our brain releases a chemical called dopamine. Sort of gives you a hit, gives you a buzz, a thrill, so you really want that item, and so you make the purchase. Like, rationale be darned. Budget out the window. Do I need it? Off the chart. But you want it. You make the purchase. You get that buzz. You want to look. You know you should avert your eyes, but you decide, I'm going to take that second look. You're tempted to say it. You've got that zinger. You've got that dagger that you can just land in somebody, and you're so tempted to say it. And so you just do it. You just say it. And instantly you have this sort of physiological reward to that. This instant buzz. It's this little bit of dopamine that sort of rewards you for that. That buzz, that high, that moment. And it's a fleeting satisfaction. Wow, that felt good in that moment. But it's often followed by, really, there's a cycle. The thrill quickly becomes, I shouldn't have done that. Depending on the severity of the sin or the choice, it's, what have I done? How could I have done this? You're racked with feelings of guilt and shame and regret. And you know, even as I say that this morning, I can tell by the expression on some faces that you know all too well that cycle. You face the temptation. You give into the temptation. There is this fleeting satisfaction that quickly turns its ugly head. You're ashamed. You're guilty. You're just beating yourself up. Why did I do that? How could I do that? I told myself I was never going to do that again. What I'd like to do with the next 20 minutes or so together as we talk about this topic is encourage us. Really, three biblical truths about temptation. Three biblical truths. And you know, for some of you, maybe it's equipping you, preparing you to stand strong when temptation comes. For still others of you, maybe today is the day that you break out of that cycle. Maybe today is the day where, by the power of God, you say no to sin and begin living for Christ. So the first biblical point as we consider this topic of temptation is that it is not a sin to be tempted. And I want to be clear on this. Sometimes we falsely assume that temptation itself is wrong. Well, I was tempted. No, it's not a sin to be tempted. Part of the human condition. We will all be tempted. Let me suggest this morning in order to support that. Jesus was tempted. So it's not a sin to be tempted. In fact, we have this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 4. Let's turn there together. Matthew chapter 4, we know this as the temptation of Christ. He's in the wilderness. And he was tempted by the devil, according to verse 1. We're in Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He's quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. Then the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Satan quoting Scripture from Psalm 91. Verse 7, Jesus answered him, "It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." He's quoting Deuteronomy 6:16. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." He's quoting Deuteronomy 6:13. And then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. See, being tempted, my friends, is not the same as sinning. Being tempted is not the same as giving into the temptation. I have often said temptation is an equal opportunity. It's an opportunity to do that which is right, just as much as it is an opportunity to do that which is wrong. Temptation is an equal opportunity to do good or evil. Let's say you're dieting. One of your coworkers brings donuts into work. Doesn't that always seem to happen, by the way? I don't know if that happens to you, but it does to me. It's like as soon as I make that resolution, like, you know what? Healthy eating, you know, I'm going to stay away from sweet. Next thing I know, here, you want some donuts? So let's say you're dieting. Your coworker brings some donuts into work, and you're tempted to eat one or five. I mean, they're just calling to you. You're like, talking donuts? Eat me, eat me. I'm a cream stick from Hirsch Burgers. They're just like calling to you to eat them. You can choose to avoid them. Politely decline, even when they're offered to you. "No, thanks. No, I'm good. I'm going to go over here, start gnawing on your carrot." You were tempted, but you didn't give in to temptation. It's not a sin to be tempted. What if you pick it up, though? So you receive it. "I'm not going to eat it. Thank you. I didn't want to be rude, so I took it. I'm smelling it." You're like, is that wrong? I don't know. You're getting kind of technical here on me. If you start licking the maple frosting off the top, I'm pretty sure you've crossed the line. I'm pretty sure you've crossed the line at that point. But really, I say that because I want to raise an important point when we talk about temptation. Are you putting yourself in situations where you know you'll be tempted? Like, don't take the donut and put it in front of you. Say no, thank you, and have it go the other direction. Like, don't go to the bakery if you're trying to avoid donuts. And for some of us, that's really an analogy for something else. I don't know what your donuts are. I don't know what your bakery is. But the scriptures warn us about not going down that path. Young men, if you read the book of Proverbs, don't go down that path. Do you know who lives on that street? Don't go down that street. Like the man who, he was trying to lose weight. He decided that he was going to stay away from bear claws that he loved so much. And he shocked his coworkers when he showed up to work and he's got a dozen bear claws. They're like, so they begin to scold him. Why went to the bakery? You got bear claws? So he gives his explanation. He says, well, I accidentally drove past the bakery. And I saw the display of bear claws, and so I prayed. And I prayed to the Lord, and I said, Lord, if you really think I should have those delicious bear claws, then open up the parking space right in front of the bakery. And his coworkers are like, that's really a crowded part of town. The prime parking spot was available? And he's like, well, not at first, but I drove around the block a few times, and then it was. Don't put yourself in situations where you know you're going to face temptation. He didn't accidentally drive past the bakery. God didn't open up a parking spot right in front. He was lingering. He was in a place he shouldn't have been. Now, our Lord taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation. So we should avoid temptation, because why would we put ourselves in a situation where we know we might fall? It's not a sin to be tempted, my friends, but it is foolish to put yourself in temptation's path. And of course, we know then from the Lord's Prayer, Jesus went on to pray, deliver us from evil. And see, isn't there good news? God does deliver us when we are tempted. He is the one who's sort of best suited to deliver us, to help us, to rescue us when we face temptation. We have this teaching from Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 14 it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. In verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. See, Jesus faced every temptation, and yet he stood strong. And he's our example. We follow in his footsteps. And when we are tempted, we cry out to him. My friends, praise God that God helps us when we face temptation. Praise the Lord that he delivers us when we walk into those places. So it is not a sin to be tempted. Secondly, as we're talking about biblical truths around temptation, the second is that you are never above temptation. I am never above temptation. None of us will escape it. It doesn't matter who you are. It's just part of the human condition. We're not above it. We saw this again from the main passage from 1 Corinthians 10. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful. Be careful that you don't fall. So let me just speak to those of you who sort of kicked back so far this morning. Those of you whose eyelids are heavy. You know, like, I was watching the Buckeyes game. I don't really succumb to temptation, not even falling asleep in church. Right? Those of you who've thought, well, I don't really need this today, because I'm walking in victory. You know, I'm glad John's preaching on this, because so-and-so really needs to hear it. But not me. I'm standing strong. Let me just maybe speak to you and use the words of Scripture. Be careful. Be careful, because it's those who are the highest up that have the farthest to fall. We think about this in our world, in the evangelical world, some big names have fallen this year, 2019. Some big names have fallen from grace. How did that Christian leader and Family Guy end up doing something so stupid? How did that Christian celebrity with the upcoming Netflix special get so entangled in sin? Overconfidence. Self-assuredness. The wisdom of Solomon tells us in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. And I'm chief of sinners in this regard. It's so easy to go, well, I'm not going to give in. Well, I'm not going to succumb to that temptation. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fall for those tactics. And that sort of confidence in God is very good, my friends. He's given us a spirit not of weakness or timidity, but of power. So that kind of confidence in God is good. God is able. Through Christ, we can do all things. But be cautious. Because when we start to say, well, I'm not going to fall for that. I can go to that place without giving in. I can begin to make compromises because I haven't done that in a long time. Guard against that sort of self-confidence. And if you ever hear someone say to you, follow your heart, just run the other way. Just go, follow my heart? Right off a cliff? We know what the scriptures say in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. I'm not going to follow my heart. Listen, we never know when we're going to be vulnerable. I can think of a time when I was tempted and I failed. Even as a Christian leader, I had this idea for a fundraiser. And the fundraiser came to fruition, and it was successful. And there was some credit to be given, some attaboys and some pats on the back. And someone else took credit for it. This someone else happened to be someone who worked directly under my supervision. And it really irked me. Because it was my idea. And because I wanted the credit. And I'm like a petulant child. That was my idea. Why am I not getting the pats on the back? Why am I not getting the... And instead of thanking God for success, instead of congratulating this individual who really was key in this particular fundraiser, instead of giving a pat on the back, you know what I did? I gave in to the temptation. I was like, yeah, that was actually my idea. Like, I was trying to take the glory away from someone else, and I was trying to get it myself. I fell. And you know just as well as I do how stupid and foolish I looked. Trying to go, over here, doesn't anybody see me? You never know when you're going to be vulnerable to those kind of attacks, to the temptation where pride begins to well up or selfishness. See, I let my pride get in the way of honoring God and of celebrating a successful accomplishment in ministry. So we've talked about the fact that it's not a sin to be tempted and that you are never above temptation, that none of us are above it. We need to stay on guard. Thirdly, and finally, God will never tempt you. This is an important theological point for us to make, that God does not tempt us. Oh, God tests us, and there's a difference. God tests us, but he does not tempt us. So why do you test someone? So students that are with us today, junior high students and high school students, college students, grad students, you face those finals. and they're just grueling and they're difficult. You take your final exams. Why? So that you can demonstrate a mastery of the material and so that you can be promoted. And elevated. Do you want to be a junior next year? Then you better show that you've mastered all the sophomore stuff, right? Why are you tested? So that you can be advanced and promoted. That's just what God does for us. God will test us to move us forward. See, Satan tempts us to move us backward. We have this teaching in James chapter 1, verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. It's not God who tempts us. And when we give in to temptation, we see there, we are indeed choosing a path of destruction. So I want you to hear this morning. Someone needs to hear this. Sin will never make your life better. That's the lie of our enemy. Take the shortcut, it's going to be better. Do this thing, it's going to feel good and make your life better. Sin will never improve your life. It's the path of destruction. Oh, it promises satisfaction. Sin will promise us pleasure and power. But it costs us obedience to God. So it's never worth the price. It looks appetizing. Sin is often packaged in a way that is appealing and appetizing, but the truth is that it's putrid. There was an old man and a young man who worked together. The old man had a jar of peanuts that sat on his desk. What just so happened that the young man really loved. Take a guess. I mean, that was his favorite snack, was peanuts. He just craved peanuts. He loved peanuts. That salty taste was what he was all about. He loved peanuts. And so one day, the old man's away from his desk, and the young man yields to temptation. He scarfs down like most of the jar of the old man's peanuts. And he is just feeling guilty. He decides, I've got to confess. So when the old man returns, he confesses. The old man says, don't worry, sonny, I don't eat peanuts anyway. But what do you mean you don't eat peanuts? Well, ever since I lost my teeth, I just gum the peanut M&Ms and spit the peanuts in this jar. What looks alluring is actually disgusting. And when you are caught in this cycle of sin, you know full well temptation leads to sin, which leads to death. It separates you from God. You feel distant from God. You feel empty. The feelings you do have are just shame and guilt and self-loathing, and you feel hopeless. And listen, for some of you, it's like, I can't overcome this. I have tried, and I have tried, and I've failed, and I just don't see a way out. So let me encourage us this morning. There is a way out. And I don't think it's a coincidence that you're here today. And I can't think of a better time than on the verge of a new year, on the verge of a new decade, for a fresh start. So if you want prayer today, for any reason, I want to invite you to come and to be prayed for. In fact, we have a room dedicated for prayer. It's just down the hallway over here. We will have some people, some of our leaders, there after the service who would love to pray with you. And they're really good at prayer. And they would be honored to hear you, to listen to you, and to walk with you before God's throne of grace. I don't want you to leave this place today without surrendering it to the Lord, without getting a fresh start. We want to come alongside you. We don't want you to carry your burden alone, but we want to encourage your heart and urge you into that life that honors Christ. Not the path of destruction, but the path of obedience to God, the path of life. Because, my friends, it's life here and now. Jesus promises an abundant life, but it's life eternal. Because far too many people give up an eternal life with God because of the distractions here on earth, because of the temptations and the sins that have ensnared them. And I want to encourage each and every one of us today that there is a way out. Through Christ, He sets us free. No matter what you're facing, no matter what sin has held you hostage, there's always a way out. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you are tempted, God will provide a way out so that you can endure it. And let's flip this idea. That every time we're tempted, we have an invitation to depend on Christ. Every time you face those temptations, think about it this way. I got to depend on Christ to stand strong, to walk the path of obedience for the glory of God and for my own betterment. Proverbs 28:13 tells us this. Whoever conceals his sin does not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. God is faithful and God is merciful. And God will give you a way out. There's always a way out. Even if you've sinned and come to the Lord and been forgiven and walked in victory and fallen back into sin, every time you stumble, He gives you a way out. He lifts you up, forgives you through the blood of Jesus. The Lord says to us in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." In the next verse, Paul says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Christ in you is more powerful than any wrong desire within you. So every time you're tempted, God is inviting you to trust in Jesus, who will set you free. In James chapter 4, He says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up." So how do we resist temptation? By submitting ourselves to God. By resisting the devil. By staying away from those places where we know he's going to try to ensnare us and grab us. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So when we come against those, we fight not with weapons made of this world. But our God is stronger. He's stronger than the enemy. And 1 John 4:4 tells us, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." So instead of feeling shame and condemnation or guilt, we feel hope. Even when we fall and he lifts us up and he forgives us and restores us, we feel hope. Because he will do it time and time and time again. Why? Because our God is faithful. And he will always provide a way out. And he will never let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So my friends, may we enter this new year with this firm resolve to stand strong in the face of temptation. To throw off the sins that so easily entangle us and to walk in the victory that Christ gives us. Resisting the devil, submitted to God, and grateful. With thankful hearts that when we are tempted, he will provide a way out. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pause to be still and to know that you are God. And even as you convict us, Lord, to recognize and confess our weakness, our frailty, our sin. Lord, how tempting it is to tout the good things we've done. And yet the scriptures say that even our righteous acts are like filthy rags. So Lord, we humble ourselves before you, asking that you would restore us. Lord, I pray specifically for courage today. I pray for your Holy Spirit to loosen the tongues of those who need to confess. I pray that you, God, would take our heart of stone and put within us a heart of flesh. That as we begin the year 2020, we do so with a fresh start. Washed clean by the blood of Jesus and set out on mission to shine for you. To make even more disciples. So Lord, I pray for this community to love and embrace one another with accountability, with speaking the truth in love, as we journey together, Lord, with you. So Lord, we pray that you would accomplish this in and through us, despite us, and that it would be for your glory and for your honor. We pray it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.